Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Do you think my whole goal is to come on this show and just deal with your guys' fucking bullshit?
It's an additional extra, if you like. No extra charge.
For two episodes, your head was trapped in a toilet. The hell?
Another episode of the Cropod, and joining me, Shane, of course, is David Edgar. Hi, David.
Yo.
Hi.
How goes it? I can't carry that off.
I'm going to treat you guys like Derek Adams treats his fucking players.
Yeah.
I'm sick of you. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
But don't ask me about it. But if you do, I definitely don't want to fucking be here. I hate all of you. I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, but I hate you.
Yeah, but I don't even know this guy, but I'm sure you're a jerk as well.
Yeah. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm better than I think both of you. And I'm coming in just a little bit smiley, a little bit chipper. I'm staring down the barrel of one of these days where I don't feel like I'm going to be leaving my recording studio anytime soon.
Yeah.
But this is my first one. So I'm happy. Like this is the intro to my day.
You get sprightly, Todd. You get joyful Canadian.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes. I feel sorry for the people at the end of the day where they're just going to get me going, for fuck's sake.
Fuck's sake. Should be in Newfoundland right now.
Right.
What the hell is going on?
Kissing a cod, drinking some Screech. Hey. Eyes the buys.
Smoke
a half hour out. You know.
Smoke some pepperoni.
Yes. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I don't. I have one thing planned for the show, but I don't want to get to it until I get a little bit warmed up. So, David.
Yes.
You have some wonderful news.
Oh, yeah. Me
about your fantastic.
By the way, that was a Letterman-esque segue, I have to say.
I watched yesterday like an hour of, you know, when the Conan and Leno thing was going on.
Yes.
Yeah, like 2005 or whenever that. I watched an hour of Letterman doing that, which was fucking fantastic.
Oh, I just recently, because I came across on my bookshelf the Bill Carter book, The Late Shift, which still holds water today. Like, it's still a very, very simple read. And his follow-up book, The War for Late Night, or The War on Late Night, whatever it was, The War Blank Late Night, pick your favorite preposition and put it in there, where it talks about the Conan Leno Tonight Show thing. Yeah. Like, both those books are just a testament of how NBC doesn't know how to manage talent.
Well, you know, it's crazy when you let Dick Ebersol kind of run.
Right.
A guy who did
so good with SNL.
His whole accomplishment was, let's get the Olympics.
Yeah.
And that worked. You know, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, the Olympics still works for NBC. It's good. Sure. You know, and especially now that they have like 18 networks.
You
and
get
whatever.
To see Bob Costas wearing a hat.
Yes. You know? But which according to David Letterman, Dick Ebersol should take 2 weeks figuring out which hat he's supposed to wear.
Exactly.
Dick Ebersol, for people who don't know, again, the guy who brought in the Olympics, but also O.J. Simpson's best friend, who fired Norm Macdonald because he got sick of Norm pointing out that, you know, he killed his wife.
Yeah. It was him and Bob Wright, because Bob Wright was the chairman, and he was just like, oh yeah, we can't have this. The movie The Late Shift, I just bought that.
Fantastic.
It's so great. It's God, so great.
I remember, because that used to come on Comedy Central. It was like that or PCU.
It was HBO.
Those were the only two that films. Came on.
Right. And oh my God. And like whenever I see, actually the guy that plays Leno, he's one of the detectives in The Fugitive.
Yes.
That's the only other thing I've seen him in. Yeah. Right. And then Letterman's portrayed by the guy who shows up in all the Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah.
Three name. I love it when we get to nerd out on this shit, because then David's feed from the audio is just a dead man's cardiograph right now.
Being, however, super intelligent, I actually know all about Dick Ebersole. So, married to, who's he married to? Do you two know that?
I can't remember, but I'm sure I should know.
Susan St. James.
Never, ever
underestimate my capacity for knowing meaningless shite. Right? Because I am a motherfucking master of it. Dick Ebersole, big friends of Vince McMahon as well, so you know he
can. Yes, yeah. Why Raw and everything is the same. Although I just get the thing, apparently Raw is going to Netflix.
Yep.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's $5 billion. $5 billion. Mm-hmm.
I think David should publish a book of all the historically significant people he knows about, and publish it, and just call it The Dicks I Know.
I did see a fantastic.
Is it just Advocate and Ebersole?
Nixon.
Do you two follow? Do you two follow the actual names account on Twitter?
No.
Right.
Oh yes, I get it. Yeah. I get the retweets for them, but some of them are just absolutely. There was a Hitler one recently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hitler was obviously a name in Austria and Germany. Mm-hmm. But they basically go through old rolls, old court rolls, and old censuses and stuff and come up. But there was a great name the other day, Dick McFag. Now,
beautiful.
If you're the McFag family, you have to stay away from Dick. Right. You have to not give your son. That name.
Well, I mean, if you want to continue the McFag name, yes, you need to stay away from Dick.
Our beloved government in the UK. in Scotland,
the most genuine sag.
Oh my God.
In Scotland, Todd totally ruined your seg there. Segway.
It's a segue. Yeah. It's not a
seg. That's a scooter, you jackass.
Yeah, it's a seg.
It's a segue.
No, and what we call it in the biz is a seg, Todd. Right?
No. No, you don't.
Look, one day, Todd, you'll be, you know, you might be able to etch out a career in
this. This is right. Clawing my eyes out right now. Just you two fucking Philistines. What are you going to call it next? A callbackqua? No.
Even Coy knows it's called a seg, right? That's all I'm saying.
Couldn't write one to save his life, but it's a segue, lad.
No, he couldn't.
He doesn't need to write one. You can blame the writers for it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Speaking of writing comedy, now, if you're in Scotland, you get the double whammy of having both the SNP up here and the Conservative governments down south. Now, if there's one rule of politics, lads, it's governments who've been in power for a long time run out of steam. They get bored, right? And they lose ideals, and they know it. They know when they're coming to an end, and they know both these governments do. So they're sort of giving up, but they're trying. They're going through the motions.
Well, to be fair, the Conservatives, they got their they wanted to break up, separate the nation from the European Union. So they did their thing, at least. Whereas the SNP, with the same backers and the same amount of money flowing into it, couldn't get over a fucking 50-50 line once in 20 fucking years.
We don't talk about money in the SNP in it.
Neither do they. They do it on WhatsApp.
It's a sore point. But the Conservatives, they're going through the motions, and they're trying to look like, because I don't think this is a bad election to lose, incidentally, right?
The way
they sent out. It's astonishing how many thick ministers they have, who junior ministers. So they sent out someone who's the culture secretary, apparently. And she was sent out to a trope of theirs. The BBC is you know, woke, run by a bunch of lefties, which is probably true, incidentally. The chairmanship of the BBC isn't, but, you know, I'd say that a lot of the staff there do tend to. But she was kind of put on the spot a little bit, where she said, you know, that there are many examples of the BBC being biased. And the presenter, not unreasonably, you might feel, said, could you give me some of those examples?
Yeah.
Yep.
And at this point, this landmine of a question, which could not have been anticipated, I think we'd all agree.
No, like, I mean, it's a softball with a fuse in it.
Here's my list of grievances. Could you name one?
Yeah, no, I don't. And she actually said, well, you have to remember, I'm coming to this as my view is shaped by being culture secretary. And the interviewer, to her immense credit, said, we know, that's why we've invited you on.
we read our own news.
Which was rather fantastic, I felt. But it kinda went from bad to worse from there. But the really great thing about it is she went on to like six interviews in a cycle and repeated the same thing time after time, which is incredibly admirable if a bit short-sighted. And you just think, look, has nobody watched the thick of it? Has, you know?
Yeah.
First of all,
they'd think it was a documentary.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, they're still working their way through The Office. So that's,
It was just,
we should hire that David Brent fella.
Yeah, it was just so staggering to me that, you know, you couldn't anticipate if you say we have loads of examples that they might say, can you name
provide one
exactly
examples? I mean, I don't think that that's a massively unreasonable thing to suggest. Yeah. And it just, I mean, Lucy Fraser's the lady's name, right? And, you know, look, I think most people in the UK will have some issues with the BBC. Some are big fans of it, like everything that it gets dragged, you know, as part of the culture wars. But, you know, if you're going to make complaints about it, then there's nothing wrong with going on and making reasonable complaints about it. But the other one that I thought was absolutely wonderful is that there's a lady who's attempting to become the Mayor of London, Susan Hall.
Okay.
Her name is. And she did an interview with LBC, the London broadcast. That's a biggie, right? LBC gets millions of listeners and millions of potential voters. For obvious reasons, it's not hugely listened to in Scotland, for example. Mm-hmm. See, in London, the London Broadcasting Corporation gets quite a lot of listeners. She was saying, we are going to recruit a lot of policemen. Which is always popular, as you know, with kind of law and order type.
It works.
And they said, well, how are you going to pay with it for this? And she admitted she didn't know, but she said it had all been costed. And he said, well, how much, do you know how much a starting police officer makes? And she said,
the worst thing you can ask a politician is any specific.
Well, then he then went on and said, do you know how much bus fare is in London? She did not. Do you know how much train fare is in London? She did not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And when she was asked about, and this is my favorite answer of the week, and I think you two will love this, right? This is straight from the thick of it. She was asked, did she think Donald Trump had stolen the 2020 election?
Oh boy, here we go.
Donald Trump. And she said, no, she didn't think that, because obviously it's policy for the Conservative government. They can't deal with a US government that they find is, you know, you can't do it, whether you believe it or not. But she said, no, I don't believe that. To which the fella then pulled out a lot of tweets that she had liked from 2020, stating that the election had been stolen from Trump.
Well, to which she replied, was there one in there about Georgia having 7.5 million people?
To which
the dead have risen and they're voting Republican.
to which she replied, I think you'll like this, because she's not going to win anything.
Well, it's probably, today's New Hampshire primary, so let's air all this shit.
She said, but that's easily explainable. I spend quite a lot of time on Twitter liking things that I don't really like. That's a
quote. Yes. I do that all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Which is why the Phantom is constantly tweeting me. That's my favorite part is when the mom shows up. That's what I like.
It is absolutely, but you know, between David,
she could go through the my 14-year-old stepchild was using my account.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Okay. My account was hacked. That's a good one. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Did you see Phil McNulty, the BBC chief football correspondent?
No. Yes, that was.
He got.
He said the kind of things that I say on Twitter.
Yes. Phil McNulty. Oh, no.
But the difference is I get drunk and double down. He realized what he'd done.
Oh, dear.
He's the BBC sports chief football writer for the website, which, you know, is quite an important position.
Yeah, he's Chris McLaughlin for the actual BBC.
Yeah, for the actual BBC. But he's an Everton fan. Fair enough, right? Perfectly legit. Liverpool were playing the other week and they came back in a match against Fulham from a goal down and they then scored a second to make it 2-1. And he tweeted in reply to another journalist who'd posted up, 2-1 Liverpool, they take the lead. He replied, absolute cunt.
Oh! I did see this.
It was swiftly deleted. And then he made the mistake that you do when you panic about something. He deleted it, which is fair enough. But then he went, I've got it here, I'm reading it. Safe to say that I have been hacked. Immediately deleted and a swift password change. Sorry to
David, you're going to have to.
You're unplugged.
Yeah, whatever you just did to your sound. Yeah. No. See if you can get it back without refreshing or else.
Right.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, no. Barely.
Like Rob Brydon.
Is that,
you know what, fuck
is that,
there we go.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, I'm going to take the break and fix this. Right.
Okay.
Absolute cunts.
absolute cunts. So he then replied, and I've got it here. I love this so much. He said, safe to say I have been hacked.
Right.
Swift password
change. Safe to say.
Swift password change and everything, everything back to normal. Apologies to anyone who saw that. To which someone immediately replied, oh, Phil, if your account has been hacked, you can't get back into it within 30 seconds.
Right.
And someone else replied, and I like this as well. They said, so you were hacked, and the hackers who'd gone to all the trouble of hacking you immediately went in and commented on the football match that you had happened to be watching and tweeting about previously.
And share an opinion that you have.
Also. Right, right. You know what? It's good to have aligned hackers. It's good. It's funny. There's a couple of things that kind of echo off of what David said, because we also have a publicly funded news broadcaster. And
you do.
And media center, CBC. And we have a candidate that wants to defund it.
Yes.
Because their news service, they believe, is biased towards the current government, accepting cases when he's using fundraising material that shows how the current government is screwing up and they're using a CBC clip. If you don't like the service, then you don't get to use it. That's why racists should not be able to enjoy tacos. Okay? You can't go into an ethnic restaurant and complain about the immigrant problem. Okay? Fuck you and fuck you. And here's the other thing. Speaking of cops, you know, there's a whole cops. This is a beautiful thing that came out just recently, because Toronto, the former city of from which I came,
Is Toronto gone?
No, it's still there. It's still there. I just don't live there anymore.
I thought we had some breaking news here.
No. Toronto's got, well, I'll tell you what happened with
the Toronto.
Right. Well, now we got this lefty mayor in there. Might as well be gone. Here we go. So. There's going to be property increases because of neglect from the previous mayor, John Tory, who lived up to his name. That's nominative determinism.
God. So you replaced a Ford with a guy named Tory?
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah. Like, literally, that was when that's when all of Toronto went, what is the lesser of several evils here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the Toronto police are concerned about their budget. Right. As every police force is. Yes. And they put out this tweet to say, it said, did you know? I love it when things start with, did you know? Because I'm like, ooh, facts are coming. Did you know Toronto has only 37 more police officers than in 1999, despite the population growth of more than 600,000 people and a 35% increase in emergency calls. Hashtag,
sounds like you had too many cops in 1999. Right.
So then someone, you know, a journalist who, not unlike Could You Name One, in that same vein, says, reposted this with the comment, the Toronto Police Service budget in 1999 was $535.9 million. This year, the chief asked for $1.186 billion and suggested grim consequences if the service isn't awarded every penny. Side note, they came out and said the cut to the police budget would really drop service, which is basically the mob going, nice house. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. Yeah. So then he brought up...
For anybody who's never... This is a call. If something happens to you, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of touched on this last week, I think, talking about policing in Scotland during the 80s and 90s, but it persists today. If you get robbed, if someone breaks into your car, into your house, whatever, and you don't have a camera, well, and even if you do have a camera, it doesn't, you know, even if you have the camera, you know the guy's name, you know his blood type, you know what school his daughter goes to, you know the name of this Doug, call the police, tell them, and see how quickly that gets fucking resolved.
Well, this was the kicker in this guy's point, right? After he drops the point, this is extortionary. The budget increased $650 million since 1999, and we only have 37 more cops?
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's... Now...
Really well paid out, though.
Yeah, you know what? I'm joining the police service.
Yeah.
Give me some fat stacks.
There's the part where, like, you know, well, even here in my town. See, now I'm curious. How do you guys pay out your policing lawsuits? Do they come out of the police budget or do they come out of
the
municipal budget?
I bet you the
city comes out of municipal budget.
I'm sure.
So, you know, like, our budget here is same as yours, skyrocketed, right? I mean, even since I've been here, it's gone up insane amounts.
Oh, well, you need cop bazookas.
I think we've added eight. Well, see, this is the thing, right? I mean, especially in this country. So we're like, oh, we got all this great tactical material, right? Yeah, and you guys have all seen the pictures of this shit, like our cops driving fucking tanks. Like, we have two. You remember that episode, the Top Gear one, or I think it's Richard Hammond, like, driving what looks like a Hummer on fucking crank through walls of buildings. We have two of those.
Good.
That we get for free.
Yeah, of course.
You get them for free from the, but it's kind of like when you win a car on The Price is Right.
Yes.
You have to pay for the cars. Right. There are taxes and there is maintenance and there is other stuff like this. So those two vehicles alone, right? Again, our ever increasing police budget, which our crime rate has gone up. Whatever, it's my town, is what it is. Hey, we're not in the top 25 most dangerous cities in the country anymore. So
congratulations.
Take that, East St. Louis.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that will never stop using it. But those two vehicles alone, two vehicles that have never, ever been used, right? Except for parades. Or they've never been deployed because we're not in a war zone. Those two vehicles alone cost the city $387,000 a year to maintain. But they were free. But we've had them for 7 years.
Right.
So, I mean, you can do the math on the $2.6 million it has cost out of our fucking bill. And, well, and again, like I said, the policemen, you know, like, when they fuck up, and they do, you know, and whatever. Look, everybody fucks up at work. The difference is, you know, I mean, it's not as much for you guys, but our people, you know, they have guns and then they kill people, right?
Right.
And then, you know,
the guns don't kill people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. The people holding the guns who happen to be cops with guns kill people.
Right.
Who may or may not have guns. Usually
you know that. Don't. Yeah. You know
usually
better.
Don't. Yeah. Yeah. But all that, see, this is, I swear to Christ. You know, here's my campaign platform. Fuck it. New Hampshire primary tonight. You can write me in for Rob McDougall that lives in New Hampshire and the other like two people that live there that listen to this. If cops had to pay for all their fuck ups out of their pension fund, they would stop doing stupid shit overnight. Immediately, they would stop.
Well, I have a breaking update on. Can you name any examples of BBC bias?
Mm-hmm.
Why they didn't just play the safe bar of Gary Lineker, right? Would have been, you know.
That would have been good innings.
Gary Lineker, whether you agree with his views or not, is a bit annoying, right? And I like Gary on Match of the Day. Okay,
mm-hmm. He's very good on that when he has his clothes on.
But he can. I accept he can be a bit holier than thou. So he's a conventional safe bat. I think he's a solid bunt into a safe part of the field. But they realised the fuck up that this lady Fraser made yesterday. So they sent out a chap called Hugh Merriman back to Sky today to clarify. Hugh Merriman, the chap's name is.
Okay.
And unfortunately, when pressed for an example of BBC bias, he named a reporter called Neil Buchanan.
Okay. Our very good listener, Neil.
There is a listener.
Blue Energy Dome wearing Neil Buchanan.
There is, however, no BBC reporter called Neil Buchanan. There is a famous Neil Buchanan in Britain because he presented throughout the 80s and 90s the beloved children's art show Art Attack.
Art Attack, that's right. I was thinking Blue Peter. But
no, there is a Neil Buchanan out there, but one, he worked for ITV, who are the BBC's main rivals, and two, I don't know how much bias you can make when you're showing kids how to make macaroni pictures of a house.
Yeah. Actually, this is a perfect seg into...
Okay, I have breaking news as well. I have breaking news. Verb in music and film, move without interruption from one piece of music or scene to another. S-E-G-U-A, pronunciation, segue. Where's it from? Oxford fucking Dictionary. Okay, so suck my D-I-Q-U-E.
I can do whatever the fuck I want in your goddamn languages.
It doesn't sound... That sounds foreign to me.
Yeah.
Oxford fucking Dictionary, the repository for your fucking language.
I'm sorry, that sounds a little French to me. And David, the last time I checked, it was us that bailed him out of fucking two wars.
I love the English language. It has such a je ne sais quoi.
The English language is basically fucking French. I don't know if you've heard about a big dust up in 1066, but there was a shower of these Norman fuckers turned up, took over the whole country, and the royal family in Britain spoke French for the next 400 years. That's true, by the way. Just any listeners going, aye, David, you're exactly... I'm not. The language of British courts and that for 400 years was French. So of course some of their words have come, like over here, for example. See, if it hadn't been for the Norman conquest, we would call pork, that's a French word, right? Mm-hmm. Beef, that's a French word,
right?
Knowing the way the British think, we would be saying, what are we having for dinner tonight? Pig. That's what we what are we having. Dead cow heated up. That's what we would. Yeah. That's what you would get with your steak. Your steak tartare would be uncooked dead cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite is when, like, because of the Romance languages and are kind of all Latin based, so we all kind of have this. There is overlap, and there's words like, you know, that you see in Spanish, you see in Italian, you see in French that kind of have, you see the connection amongst the different languages of the root words. I have no idea on my planet. Take pork, for example, P-O-R-K in English, P-O-R-C in French. What is it in Italian? Maiale. What? There's two consonants and eight vowels in the word for pork.
Yeah, how many syllables does I have in German?
Right. How about something simple as a spoon? Spoon, right? Spoon. That's pretty easy. What is it in French? Something simple. What is it in Italian? Cucchiaio. My God. How?
That's why your food all sounds so good. Yeah, I know. So with your was it Jerry Cinnamon that you were talking about that went out to talk for the SMP? Whoever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Merriweather. There we go. Yeah. I got it. you can settle in, listen. I think you guys can agree. Don't get on my high horse that much anymore. And I really don't talk about
a lot less than you
legitimately care about.
Shane's high horse.
I'm mellowed.
Shane's high horse has been put out to stud. It's currently a lot of other high horses.
I had to fix some stuff around the house the other day. I need some glue. It's probably, you know. It's
I coming. Don't need to picture Shane's anything out in a field fucking. I don't.
Why not? I won't let that slide. Why not? What the fuck is wrong with Shane? How dare you? How fucking dare you?
I don't want to picture your thing fucking. I don't want to picture fucking. That's all. You're, Jesus.
Give one example, Todd.
Gary Lineker.
I am massively offended that you don't want to picture Shane fucking Gary Lineker.
I'm not as woke as I thought.
No, you're not, are you?
Unbelievable.
Like conservative canuck there, eh? It's
fucking ridiculous. So, as long-time listeners know, I actually, it's coming up. My very first story in print was 20 years ago, I think.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's nice. So I spent 15 years as a journalist, give or take.
Sure, you did, yes.
Off them, but yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tropes, and it became increasingly worse toward the end. It becomes increasingly worse now, as you pointed out. That, well, for one, like, politicians are absolutely unaccountable to anything, because what they can do is simply say, so we're talking about here, the BBC is biased, and here's a made up person, mm-hmm. and then you get people on Twitter or Facebook who just go, yeah, see, I told you they are. Look at this Neil Buchanan guy. And they can't bother to find out that Neil Buchanan actually exists and whatnot. And part of the lack of confidence in media, right, has stemmed from the fact that, our entire Western media is owned by about four companies anymore.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's it. Right, there's NBC, Comcast that owns fucking, you know, and if it's not them, it's Viacom. Gannett owns probably 58% of the papers in the English language, you know, between here, Canada, and the UK, right? And they're all held by venture capital companies, which, please explain to me what they provide to society. Right, they don't do anything. All they do is buy stuff up, load debt onto it, and somehow the eight people at the top get rich and everybody else gets fucked. And this has destroyed, news, right? Mm-hmm. You want to sit there and you vacuum and bitch. There's two jobs that people really don't understand. There's weathermen and there's journalists, right? Every other job, you got a pretty basic idea of what, like, you could bitch about your doctor, but you have a general idea of what your doctor does, and you also understand the fact that you can't do his fucking job because he went to school for seven more years than you did to be able to do it, right? There are people like me who spent years being journalists, training. It's not like I don't show up to work at the fucking 7-Eleven and take your fucking $3.50 for a packet of Monster Munch, right? I did a very important thing for a very long time that took me a long time to get very good at it. And it's been destroyed by people. And it happened, you know, I've worked for companies that this has happened to. Mm-hmm. But it happened this week to, I think, one of the most venerated, most important publications, certainly for people like us.
Right.
In Western society, Sports Illustrated is dead.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sports Illustrated is dead. The magazine of Frank DeFore, the magazine of Hunter S. Thompson, if you're one of the freaks that listens to this that doesn't care about sports at all, is dead. And I want you just to think about this. There was a statement that they explained this now, that the Authentic Brands Group, right? Which is the group in
already
the
I love
capital
the name.
Company that owns the rights to Sports Illustrated's name and likenesses. They own all the photos. I mean, think of the photo of Ali standing over the Dwight Clark picture from the 1981 NFC Championship game. Like, all these pictures throughout history, all these sports pictures that you can think of. Authentic Brands Group is the arm of the venture capital company that bought Sports Illustrated about 9 years ago and owns it. And then they licensed Authentic Brands Group, which sounds very legitimate and not at all made up.
Right.
Licensed the right to print Sports Illustrated to the Arena Group, also a very real and not made up name for a company that definitely isn't owned by the same people that own the Authentic Brands Group and owns a venture capital company that owns the Authentic Brands Group that is licensing. Like, everything is a tax shell and everything is a fucking way to fucking destroy it. And this is why, you know, you guys are lucky with your state media arms, right? And I can't, I again, you know, because people lap shit up and don't think for themselves anymore. And that's why, again, there are people online today probably bitching about a guy called Neil. Hi, Neil, by the way, our good listener, Neil Buchanan, who's probably gotten tweeted at this point for being a biased BBC journalist, even though he was a nurse or whatever. That people will lap this kind of shit up without thinking about the fact that these are made up shell corporate shady ass fucking companies whose sole purpose is, you know, what's the goal of journalism, right? It's the fourth arm, right? It's supposed to shed light on how the government works, how the rich and powerful work, and how society in general should work, right? And you have these very few fucking companies that have bought every goddamn media outlet in the fucking world, except for the few state-run broadcasters. And, you know, what, The Guardian, which is, I mean, a shadow of what it used to be, too. You have, like, places like Defector, which popped up because Deadspin got bought by one of these fucking... You know, you have so few of these things that their entire purpose was to hide how everything gets done, right? Do you wonder why we don't have decent war reporting? Do you wonder why we don't have good crime reporting? Do you complain about the fact that your local newspaper used to be 200 pages and now it's two? That's not because of fucking Craigslist, right? Or Facebook or whatever. It's because these companies made a distinct decision 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago to kill media. And they've done it very, very, very well. They've done a very good job at it. So
I think the thing that brought it home to me was you know, a few years ago when the Daily Record, which is owned by Reach, which is a massive company, fondly called Rich by Private Eye, they came after us. And I'm like, we're just a very small, independent, you know, media outlet. And yet they were still, because it was something they couldn't control. And you still get that now, you know, the SFA thing a couple of weeks ago. It's because they don't like stuff they can't control. And as Shane says, it's because they can control so much. But again, I refer the honourable gentleman back to my previous answers on many a thing, which is the world's fucked.
Yeah.
You know, the world is fucked. And I think we just have to accept there are a lot of similarities.
This is a big part of the reason why, because you all sat and bitched about what journalists did. And then you didn't do anything when all of us kept saying, hey, by the way, these like five really rich guys are buying us all up and stopping us from doing anything.
Our listeners, you know, but then again, whose fault is it? It's America's, right? Because who invented robber barons? You did, right? In Britain, we actually frowned upon rich people having any political influence for years and years and years because we thought it was a bad idea. You fuckers who've always been in thrall to anybody with money. You still are. See it with the Elon Musk stands. Oh, he's a genius. Quite clearly isn't a genius, right? It's quite clearly...
Come on, the world's biggest anti-Semite's doing a photo op at Auschwitz. What are you
He looks great in a yarmulke, doesn't he, folks?
He said he's an aspirational Jew, so that's you showed. That's you told. I don't know.
I would love to comment on this, except when Shane was going on, I just couldn't stop picturing him fucking Gary Lineker, so I'm out. The big problem is, and you totally touched on it, it is the rich getting the stupid to do their work.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like, hey, the CBC's biased. Yeah, CBC's biased. Yeah, vote conservative. Yeah, you're going to take away programs. Yeah, what? Yeah, keep voting. just...
I'll provide, though, a little bit of balance and say that what I will point out is, because people will listen to us and say, oh, you know, well, you would all say that, you're all quite lefties. That's true, but all of us admit that the left-wing parties are fucking idiots as well.
Yes!
Oh, yeah, that's the problem.
No, I mean, my party can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is I've only got one choice, and they're not fucking left-wing anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. Our political parties are fucking rubbish, too. So do what I'm doing, right? Just do what I'm doing, listeners. People think I'm a wee weirdo hermit, right? And they're right. But you know, none of this affects me because one day I will die, right? It's like exactly. Cirque de Puree.
See, said, David, I haven't been on Twitter, right? I haven't. I don't go on Facebook. I don't do it because I have so dropped off. I don't want to deal with shit. And I'm sorry for everybody. If you tried to get a hold of me, sorry. But
also,
it's such a fucking pain. You know what I want? I want to sit here and watch the 49ers hopefully go to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Hopefully fucking win it this time. God damn it.
See, if you can't get past Detroit to get to Super Bowl, you do not fucking deserve.
I don't think that is the problem. The problem is, again, as I said to you last night, the two buzzsaws that are laying in wait. Because Mahomes is suddenly Pat Mahomes again.
And
Baltimore obviously ramrodded us, what was that, 4 weeks ago, whatever the hell it was.
Do you know what the Mahomes thing was? You know, just to move from something serious to light.
No, I'm done.
Shane is right, by the way. I wouldn't disagree with that. Media is in control of. But then again, people listening to this know that, and that's why they're
exactly
such an independent.
Yeah, I know.
You're all clever, right? Every listener to this show, you pat yourself on the back because you're not a sheeple. Right. You saw it coming, and you listen to three fucking idiots talking about shit. But
cut to 3 months from now, and David's like the succession of Heart and Hand.
Oh, well, I can't wait for that. It's going to be like the fucking Hunger Games when I'm ready to give it up.
Your stupid dogs is going to be the one that controls the media?
It's going to come back to me and you starting the Cox and Peter Capaldi.
We are going to have so much fun.
In this scenario, you are the Brian Cox decision.
I'm going to grab all of the Heart and Hand podders and say, right, it's up for grabs, lads. But we're going to have any of you seen The Running Man?
Oh, the new one or the old one?
Oh, the old one, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. On that, actually, right, I decided this year I would start reading some fiction again.
Oh, good. How is your Harry Potter?
Well, do you know what it is? It's that I'd read nonfiction for years, but what's the point of learning all this stuff when I deal with people like Colin who ask questions like, was Napoleon an interesting story? Should I watch the film?
Could they fill 2 hours up with this?
I just die a little inside, you know. And so I just think to myself, you know, why? But so I decided, I thought, I want something easy, right? So I'll build back up to, you know, David Foster Wallace and Umberto Eco and stuff, right? Yeah. I'll start off with something simple. So
I'm reading some Tully Jupp right now. It's as close to fiction as I get.
I got a couple of Stephen King books that I've had for
beauty.
30 years and I haven't read them since I was a kid. So I read The Dark Half. Do you know that one? It's not one of the more famous ones, but it's really good. It's quite a clever book. Do you remember he had a pen name? He wrote The Running Man under Stephen Bachman. Well, this book is about a guy who writes under a pen name and he kills off the pen name and they do like a mock funeral for it. But the guy comes to life and it's very good. It's dead creepy, but it's not out and out horror. There's a lot of King books. But then I thought I'll start The Stand. Right.
Yep.
And I must admit,
nice light reading for modern society that has the specter of nuclear war hanging over it at all fucking times.
See, post-pandemic and the current worldview, do not read The Stand, folks, right?
No.
Because I'm, and it's great.
Cut
to
David. This is too depressing. I'm going to watch Contagion instead.
But see, post-pandemic, and the thing is about it, like, two things have came out of it. Firstly, And it's a great book. If you haven't read it, folks, I urge you to do it or listen to it. The audiobook's great as well. But I'm getting up early.
Either way, just settle in for about 6 months.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No. The audiobook is 48 hours, right?
No. So
2 whole days it would take you to listen. But it's great. I mean, I found myself genuinely getting up early in the morning to listen to, you know, a bit before I need to start work and stuff. So it's been really good. But the two things that have came out of it is, one, when Sally sneezes, I shoot through as like a like a dog that has just smelled some food cooking, and I'm like, "What the hell was that?" And she's like, "Well, just a sneeze." And the other thing is I don't know if you, I bet you that you two do.
Wait
that.
A minute, you just lived through 3 years of COVID, and that's what triggers your sneeze? Is a fucking book?
I'm sorry. Have you Stephen King's descriptions in that book?
Oh, brilliant. Man. Well, this is the other thing, right? That was going to see two things have come out about reading fiction again, and I bet you two do it. And given the makeup of a lot of our listeners, I bet they do it, and I want them to admit to this, whether they do this or not. I've started narrating my life again. Right.
Okay.
So instead of, like, you know, that inner voice, I'll just go through and I'll get, you know, I'll get a packet of crisps and maybe make a cup of
tea. Out loud, you're like,
yeah,
go like, to the kitchen.
David Rhodes.
Looking in the fridge.
instead of that, it's like, David Rose from the couch. It wasn't as easy as it was in his younger days. He began to notice that his aches and pains were growing. Sign of winter, he thought.
Oh, fuck. I woke up my shoulder this morning when I woke up. It took me an extra 40 minutes to get out of bed just because
David
found a spot where my shoulder didn't hurt.
David Held Chain's complaint. That's what I mean. Yeah. David heard Shane's complaint about his shoulder.
David commiserated.
They're becoming more rapid, thought David, his illnesses. Shane had always been a man who was prone to illness, but it just seemed over the last couple of years that it was getting even worse.
Oh,
and that's what's going on in my head right now, 24/7. Right. And I bet you do it. It got me back thinking about, do you know there are some people who don't have an inner monologue? Which I find absolutely fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, I talk to myself more than anybody.
Yeah.
Of course you do. It's the only way
I make little songs for the dog.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Who's going to get his feet dry? It's Ernie, because he walks through the puddles. Do-do-do-do. I love right now that you are both reading fiction and I'm reading nonfiction for once.
I'm not reading fiction.
You're not? Okay. Whoa. Back it up. That's all right.
I said Tony Judd. Come on. Okay. God damn it.
I'm reading Jesse David Fox's comedy book, which is like a chronicle of comedy in general, but stand up specifically. It's fantastic. It's just
A friend of mine gave me Colin Jost's
book.
Jost, is it good? Should I read it?
I have not read it. I understand it is great.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I will actually, because I did the instinctive thing of, if you give me something or tell me going to do it.
Yeah.
But then I remembered I have a comedian sitting here that could ask and be like,
I would suggest that one. The one that that sticks with me still is Martin Short's, I must say.
Yeah.
It is great because you will laugh out loud and then suddenly you'll be poolside at a resort and explaining to your wife that the reason you have tears in your eyes and you're sobbing is because sunscreen got in there and you should go into the pool. It's a heart wrencher. Heart wrencher.
I rewatched all the Jiminy Glick things the other day.
Beautiful.
Like a super, oh my
there
God.
There is not one so wrong good. One. Nope.
No. Now, Zach Galifianakis could take a few notes.
Right. And then his harp player.
Yes.
Right. what's his name? The actor. Michael McKean.
McKean.
Oh, yeah. Final Tap. Yeah.
Yes. Who's the president now in the show with the girl from the other show?
Right. Oh, he was brilliant in Better Call Saul.
The guy from the show where he's a Nazi and then he decides not to be a Nazi.
Do you two remember
Friends?
The diplomat.
The diplomat.
What's her name from Felicity? That one.
Yeah.
Do you two remember an early 90s sitcom that was genuinely brilliant? And I know this because I've gone back and watched it. It's on YouTube called Dream On.
Fuck yes, Dream On was on HBO.
Michael McKean was the boss in that, and he's brilliant. Yeah. But for those of you, it's so fucking edgy. It was well ahead of its time.
Well, again, it was on HBO.
It was on HBO, and it gave teenagers at that time a chance to see boobies.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because it came out at like 9 o'clock on Sunday. It came out Sunday night.
Part of Channel 4's Friday night US import comedy, right? Yeah. But 10 o'clock Friday night, 14-year-old me, boobies, and it was funny. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, that kind of The Office vibe, the, you know, like the proper Office, the British one, not that shite yous have.
Don't blame me.
No, I know you. It's not your cup of tea, I know. But it is. It's dark and it's edgy and genuinely funny. But nobody seems to remember it.
It came on in the same block of time as the Gary Shandling show.
Yes.
Absolute genius.
Yeah.
You know, just
if you had to watch one, it's Gary.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the lead in to the Right. That's the second Gary Shandling series, right? Jeffrey Tambor.
Rip Torn describing to Jean Garofalo about why the fact she's worried she has got cancer shouldn't get in the way of her producing a good show. Because it happened to him once with a Frank Sinatra show, and now he can't listen to Frank Sinatra without thinking, that's the show I fucked up because of my left nut.
Rip Torn.
Genius.
They should just have a show of just the Rip Torn lines.
Yes.
You know? Larry, I'm not going to go ahead with this, and if you disagree, tough titty. You didn't just say tough titty, did you? Tough titty.
He was fucking fantastic in everything, Rip Torn. He was just what a guy. Can I do my David's film review? Because people are.
Please. Hold on. Let's do the break. Quick break. Okay. Right back. David is going to review our film.
Nice.
I'm not sure Barbie. What.
Of course it's not. It's from the 90s, obviously.
Plus, when we come back on The Crow Pod. All right, welcome back to part two of The Crow Pod. Of course, go check out our friends.
I have an idea. No, I have an idea. Before you do the ads, right, play the music. Play the West Wing music while you do it.
Fucking.
It'll work. Trust me.
All right, hold on. Talk for like 5 seconds while I
find
it. We are talking for 5 seconds. Todd and I are talking for 5 seconds.
Todd sat in his studio while David chirped his ears. He sat there waiting while Shane tried to find an audio file that he was going to play at David's direction. Todd didn't know what the music would be. He assumed it would be something from the University of Tennessee, some marching band or some bullshit that he really didn't understand.
Have you not been here? Come on, do the thing.
Todd listened in anticipation as Shane tried to get an audio clip to play.
This is great radio. I fucking love this.
That's all the inner monologue is just described the audio for everyone else.
Yes, right. Go do it.
Go check out our friends at famousedward.co.uk, bluerimart.co.uk. Get all your good Rangers gear. And, of course, our good friend Mark Boyd. At Recovery and Repair in East Kilbride, he'll massage you and touch you in ways that your wife won't.
No, nope, right? Because she's a cold, don't do it that
mean
way.
Bitch.
Nope.
The famous.
Do not want.
I feel sorry for the famous and for Mark because they're going to be so fucking busy after that advert because the amount of fucking stuff that will be and customers that will be coming their way, the phones will be red hot. In fact, we've actually lost all our listeners because they've just fucked off fucking phone. Right now we're talking to nobody because they've immediately just gone to their phone and they're like, I'm going to phone and buy a scarf and book an appointment. That's what happened there.
Right.
That's a fact.
That's, That's the most dynamite ad break we've had in fucking years.
Fucking
yeah. While we're at it, look, if you're looking for a home in the greater Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah. I actually don't have. I don't have anything to punt at the moment. I don't think there was some.
Well, you had a film review brought to you by William Gill. Yeah.
Yes.
Your realtor friend in the greater Toronto, Ontario, Canada area.
Let's do it.
The reason I say this is occasionally I do a film review, generally from the 80s or 90s. Generally,
I'm not watching new films. Voluntarily.
No, they're all shite. There's David's modern film review. They're all shite.
Yeah.
But listeners have actually said to me, I quite look forward to these. So okay, I'll try and do it more regularly. Now, what I go on is the Amazon Prime algorithm.
Okay.
It knows me quite well. At this point, I think. Right?
Good for you.
Yeah, it does. I think
problem is my wife and I share the Amazon account, so we get all kinds of shit in there.
Yeah, you get the clusterfuck reminds
me of the Stuart Lee line, that one where he has a copy of Jeremy Clarkson's book, and he said, if you read one book this year, this will really fuck up your Amazon Prime record. So my Amazon Prime knows me quite well. So I just go with the recommended for you thing, right? And the other night, there was no football on. I was just the weather outside wasn't very nice. And I thought...
Would you call it frightful? The television was so delightful since you had no place to go.
Let it sweet and make ice all over the place.
Let it be a bit shitey outside. But I went with it, and it suggested Under Siege, starring Steven Seagal.
Fuck yes!
And now, I have not seen that movie since, 1992?
93, whenever
it in the theaters with a boner? You're right.
And I thought, I'll watch this because it's going to be absolute rubbish, right? As one does. So then the credits start, and it's Tommy Lee Jones, Gary Busey. I was like, okay. Yeah,
right, here we go.
That's an interesting one. I wasn't expecting that. It's fucking brilliant, folks.
Yes!
Right, see these people who say things like, Steven Seagal can't act. No, he can't. Who gives a fuck? No, he can kick the living.
That's what I'm here for.
No.
That's what Tommy Lee Jones is there for, you fucking idiots.
That's exactly it. Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey are there, and they're the ones who are doing the actual acting.
Yeah.
So that's all grand, right? That's all brilliant. And Tommy Lee Jones is fucking fantastic, okay? But, somebody said to me, I quite like that movie, but it's a bit of a Die Hard ripoff. Well, why wouldn't you rip Die Hard off?
Yes,
Die Hard,
exactly. Brilliant.
Right, of course. But Steven Seagal, can't act, but doesn't attempt to.
No.
That's what's great about it. He doesn't try to act. He doesn't try to add any emotion.
See, now he tries to act and be, informed. Oh, look at how stupid he looks now. He looks like a fucking idiot, and he dresses like a Chinese whore, right? Should I edit that?
speaking of Prime and great things on it, we're on season 2 of Reacher right now. Speaking of guys that
can't act. Yeah, you were the one that brought this up.
Yes.
Because I said,
speaking of guys that can't act.
That guy.
But he does, again, to David's point, doesn't need to. Everyone else in the show, acting their asses off.
Okay.
Alan Ritchson just shows up with pectorals the size of my head and just goes, okay, fine.
He doesn't say anything, right? I mean, it's kind of just like the cops talk to him. He doesn't say is this the Tom Cruise movie thing? What was
this?
That?
Okay, so this was a series of books, and then
the Tom Cruise thing. Didn't he do movies?
He did a movie. He did a Reacher movie, when you're watching this one, I haven't read the books, but my wife, I think, read one a while ago, and she was kind of hazy on the details. So we asked her brother, who has read a lot of them. I said, Reacher. He goes, yes. The character, is he 6'5"? Yes. He's described in the book as a 6'5" wall of a man. Massive. Right?
Okay.
Which leads the question, how the fuck did Tom Cruise get in? And then you realize he produced it. Okay, that's fine.
What is the song playing right before the fight scene in that?
In the movie?
In the bar where we're like, the five young guys come up to try to kick the shit out of them.
What is it?
Young Americans.
There you go.
Well, I would say if Tom Cruise is going to, they should change the name to Jack Reacher Round. because
right. I will say this. I want to give a proper tip of the hat to the writers of that show, because in the second season, we're about two or three episodes in. This isn't a spoiler. It's really just a joke that's in the show. Robert Patrick.
Spoiler alert. It's okay. Not a spoiler if it's based off of something that's been out in fucking public for years. True. You can't do that.
This is 2022. People might go, what's this? This is just a joke. Robert Patrick, if you go on IMDb, you'll see that Robert Patrick is in this, right? And so he's on the phone to one of his henchmen, and the henchman says, yeah, I'm finding it hard to find this woman that you want me to. She keeps going by the alias Sarah Connor. And Robert Patrick goes, I don't give a shit what her name is. And I blurt laughed. And my wife went, what was that about? And then I had to pause and explain.
Oh, that's awesome.
The thing about Tom Cruise is, he's not gay, you know.
No, he's not.
He's a Scientologist. It's different.
And yeah. you would be a liar and a communist.
You'd also be sued.
Yes.
Yes. I just want to make it absolutely clear for the record that Tom Cruise.
Yeah, also with David. I want. Yeah. I'm not saying Tom Cruise.
No,
is gay.
He's not. No, he can't be.
No, he's not gay.
No, he's
Tom
manly.
Cruise is in the closet. Yeah,
he's red blooded and.
I mean, how could you fuck Nicole Kidman for that many years and come out gay on the other side?
I have a theory.
Even to anyone else who's dated her?
No, mm-hmm.
Definitely not.
No,
definitely not.
And that marriage to Katie Holmes, that was real. That.
Mm-hmm. No, very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
God, you know, see, this is the thing. The thing I hate Tom Cruise for the most, right? Because all of his films are, like, what, they're all good. They're all watchable, right? They're all under siege. They're all under siege. They are. Right. Especially when he stopped like trying to be a real actor, you know, it was just like, I'm going to make stuff where shit blows up or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I am probably kick the shit out of people twice my size. Like, fine. Yeah. I can do it. Let's go. Go fly a jet. Go fly a jet. We're
he
good.
Found his lane.
He did.
Yeah, he did in Days of Thunder, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He took Katie Holmes out of the goddamn Batman series. And therefore, we had to have that sad turtle die in the second one. The fucking implausibly the woman that is Jake Gyllenhaal's sister. What?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking goddamn amorphous blob did her mother fuck after her brother was born to produce her?
I like Maggie Gyllenhaal.
So do I.
Maggie Gyllenhaal? No, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like Maggie? Oh, my God.
She's an
awful actor.
No, she's not.
She's terrible.
No,
have you seen Secretary?
Yes. I cannot stand her. I will die on this. I will be somebody bitching about the BBC. Right now. Look, Neil Buchanan said, all right.
You know, everyone's allowed an irrational dislike. I can't stand Jodie Foster in anything. Right, huh. And people will.
Well, you are not going to like the new True Detective.
Oh, I know.
Fuck.
People will. Well,
also,
say,
you might not like the last one either.
Really, any but the first.
Yeah, I think at this stage of the game, if you're
we burnt the wick on that one.
Yeah. The first one is the one, but anything she's in, she just annoys me.
Well, she does the Eddie Money thing too. She talks outside of her fucking mouth all the goddamn time.
Right.
And she also thinks that if she wants to be dramatic, her one acting trick is to breathe heavily. So if you watch The Silence of the Lambs, this will ruin it for you. And I'm sorry, folks, if you're a big fan of The Silence of the Lambs.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
But if you watch it, she basically sounds like she's having a 96 minute asthma attack. Right, that's it all the time. And then you've got Anthony Hopkins. Now, Anthony Hopkins did the right thing,
by the way. Santa, love your suit.
He did. He decided he was gonna just ham the fucking hell out of it, right? Chew the scenery, and it makes for a great and memorable character, right? It really does. That's the point of it, but. Oh, she's so bad. But then you're allowed, as I say, you're a rattle. I must admit, I didn't think Katie Holmes in the first one was that good.
Yeah. I'm not saying she was that good. I'm just saying I didn't want to deal with fucking Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Right. Jodie Foster, if you watch The Accused, you go, oh, shit. And I will say this, I'll throw my log into this fire. Drew Barrymore is mine. Can't watch her.
Yeah, don't but want she's it. Just a cunt. Don't want it. I mean,
scab. Scab.
On top of that.
Just you're allowed to have actors and actresses. Yeah. Well, I think they're just all actors now, aren't they?
Right. I don't think
you can't
call them actresses anymore.
Right. Well,
until it's the Oscar time, and then suddenly, what? Who? What?
Yeah, that's true. If the Academy does it, surely I'm allowed.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Joe Coy's hosting, I heard.
Oh no!
Who is hosting the Oscars? Is it Kimmel again?
I think it will be Kimmel, but I don't think they've announced yet.
Maybe we'll all be lucky, and it's Bert Kreischer.
I'd love to go to the Oscars, right? You know, once, just basically to turn up and see what designer slapped clothes on me. Knowing my luck, it'd be a fucking Vera Wang evening dress. And, you know, I'm like, here comes David Edgar. He's wearing a stunning and the shoes are Jimmy Choo. And I'll be like, yeah, hi everyone. And they'll be like,
I don't even know who the second person you mentioned. That right. Jimmy Choo is the guy I go pick up my fucking carry out from.
Believe it or not, I actually, because I'm a wanker, have a pair of Jimmy Choo trainers. And
who is this?
He's a designer of shoes.
He's a designer. Okay. Yeah, there we go.
I thought the clue was.
I guess the context clues should have. Yeah.
Right. He's a Malaysian fashion designer.
Malaysian.
See the thing about wearing these, right? And I've noticed guys. Understandably, don't really pay any attention. Women go fucking mental. And apparently it was because of Sex in the City. Whenever they see, they're like, are they Jimmy Choo? And you're like, well, yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know he did mention these amazing. And you're like, right, thank you. But it's apparently all to do with Sex in the City and women having that strange fetish about shoes.
Oh God. Yeah, I wear Clarks. I have like the same pair of trainers I've had for like 3 years now. They're still in decent enough
mix. I have a lot.
I wear Sperry's, but not the ones that look like the ones that assholes wear.
Yeah, I can't really slag women. I have a lot of shoes. Although I
wear flip flops between April and fucking.
Of course you fucking do.
No, I don't want to put on shoes. It requires.
Have you thought about
it? I can just slide my feet.
If anyone needs foot protection, it's you, Shane.
Fuck that.
Have you thought about why you fall down so fucking much?
I don't wonder why I fall down so much. I'm well aware.
You are the fucking Rangers medical team of this show.
Oh God, yes.
Pip Yates as my personal doctor back in 2008 was a mistake.
Yeah. We've really smashed it. We've smashed it this time with Seema, who is a player who isn't even ours, who went to a tournament, didn't play in it, and is out for the season.
Yeah.
But even by our standards, that's a fucking belter.
I looked at Twitter this morning briefly. Yeah, well, I mean, I still look every once in a while. Because there is something that makes you think. And there was one of the Rangers accounts. I can't remember which one. But, you know, like one of the accounts that does the thing. I should know this. There's a theory in news that if a headline asks a question, the answer is no.
Yes.
Right. The answer is always in the he said he posted up like a squad, you know, like the depth chart looking thing that you get in like Football Manager, where it's like, all right, here's your left center backs, right? And it was like, are there any parts of the squad that still need reinforcing? It's like, all right. Yes, all the entire squad. Yeah. Every fucking position is not good enough.
Yes.
we have a goalkeeper who's fantastic. A right back who we all know is one of the best players. Well, 98% of us know is one of the best players that we've ever seen at the club. Right.
You're going to get so much heat for that. But no, you're absolutely right. For fuck's sake, Tav.
You
can upgrade. But then, you know, this morning I woke up and people, just on my phone, people were messaging me saying, well, we spend $4.5 million on this Diamandé. I was like, of course we're not. $4.5 million in January. And then people kept cut. So I thought, right, okay, rather than just, you know, I'll
call the club.
I'll phone about it, right? Yeah. And we are. And I was like, where the fuck have we found? That must have been some couch that we found $4.5 million down the back of.
Well, see, maybe this is why Emerson House went over budget 2.5 times, because they just put a pile of cash down the back of one of the couches.
No, they
were like, oh, no, it wasn't lumber or concrete or time or anything. Oh, no. We just happened to stuff 6.5 million pounds down the back of this one. Sorry. Our mistake, everybody.
Yeah. This is like the last scene in The Bear.
They're just opening cans of tomato sauce.
Trying to get anything, but there's several.
It's the Biscuit Bolognese.
several big house builders in Scotland have gone bust because, for whatever reason, maybe Brexit, I don't know. But trying to get building equipment is fucking ridiculous. And the guys who have it are turning into like dealers. You want bricks? Mm-hmm. And they open up their coat. It's not. And because we had these storms this week, I am so fortunate that I live in a big old stone house, right? My house is, you know, the walls are.
Yeah, really... how bad did it end up being for people?
It was pretty bad.
The wind. I told you. See, it's not. Because, like, when they were like tornado, I was like, don't worry about the tornado watch. Worry about the derrico. Worry about the fact that you're going to have 80 mile an hour straight force winds for 2 or 3 hours at a time.
It got up to 100.
But
I did have to laugh. One of my friends, he got in touch, just chatting away on WhatsApp, and he said, my garden furniture blew away. And I was like, well, of course it fucking did. What did you think? What was I supposed to do? I said, bring it inside or tie it down.
Right.
We had a windstorm.
I knew that the storm was coming.
Yeah. We've been getting tornado warnings recently. And
You guys get that now. It's fun.
Yeah, we do, which is great. Love it. Yeah.
Enjoy that shit.
Cannot wait. But like, this is how specific like the vent ways go for the windstorms out here. Two rows of houses over, there were like trees down. Our neighbor kind of across the street had a branch puncture his roof, so he had to get that fixed from the inside and out. And he had firewood. That was great. Then we look in our backyard and we were like, oh shit, the patio furniture. Cause we got like some plastic light stuff.
How tornadoes work, Todd.
Yeah. Well, we looked out and one of the little end tables knocked over. That was it. It was like, how specific.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, look, I haven't been in a house that was hit directly by a tornado in 13 months. So you know, I'm running pretty good right now. I'm all right.
Yeah, mine's ever.
Yeah, honestly, the worst one was that 2009, 10. I don't know the one where it took the roof off my house while I was hiding in the closet. That was fun. when all of a sudden
you're in it.
I was in a house that didn't have a basement because it was in Southern Illinois, and you know, like pretty much once you cross I-74, which kind of cuts across the middle of Illinois, everything stopped there. You either have to have a storm cellar like our friend Davey down there in Oklahoma, or you just put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye, right? Mm-hmm. So I took the dogs into the closet and, you know, in the center of the house, you got to go to the center of the house. You don't want to be on a periphery, you know, close to the center, smallest room that you can, go into the closet. And as I'm sitting there and I can hear everything, and then the roof was gone and it was sunny in my closet where I was sitting.
Oh.
And then I moved. It was like I was moving out of the house that day. So I end up, I finished moving out and left town. And so I don't own that. I rent. That belongs to you. Not my problem.
Well, as I say, we, over here, aren't particularly used to this sort of thing.
And no.
The great thing about it is the first storm left and a new one is arriving tonight.
Yes.
There was some great plane redirections. There was a flight from Manchester to Dublin. It takes about 45 minutes. But
you have to go through Copenhagen?
It went to Paris. they tried, first of all, to go to Belfast, couldn't land, and then they had to go to Paris. And there was another one, I think, was Manchester to Belfast that ended up in Barcelona. So,
beautiful.
You know, there was a whole host of different
I don't think I'd complain either way. I mean, yeah. One, you're getting out of Manchester. True. Two, you didn't end up in the city in Ireland. So,
right.
So bad.
But yeah, when it did go a bit kind of a bit nuts, and then as I say, the thing is, it's likely to happen again tonight. It's been an absolute bonanza for roofers, though, as you can imagine.
Oh sure, yeah.
My god, that is that time of year here in the central Illinois, you know, so the central part of the states, like late March until about September 1st. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking roofers in this country, man, just raking it in.
Yeah,
this is raking it in.
Yeah,
this is your time. But as I say, you know, my house is kind of fortunate because it's very old and it was built.
It's a real house.
It's a house. Aye, it was built out of stone and everything in it is fucking. Whereas I think that with some of the kind of newer builds that tend to be made of much lighter material.
Yeah. They're built for like 73 cents or 70. Well, right. In your case, like 78 pence a square.
Oh, we better use the double ply cardboard here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our house was built by
studs are spaced 28 inches somehow.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, yeah, do you need a wall there? Well, right. Yeah, all right, okay.
Don't move that poster. It's a load bearing poster.
Well, this room has electricity.
That's a good office bit. God damn it.
So, yeah, it's been a bit stormy. It's going to continue the next couple of days. But, yeah, I thought that was a bit cruel of nature. We get one storm leaving and it goes, ha-ha, here's his pal coming now.
Yeah.
That seems a bit
odd. Dad, I mean, what, it's Tuesday and Friday every week, basically. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough shit. Hey, you guys want our golf stream? There you fucking go.
Yeah, but we should, you fucking assholes. Yeah. We should at least get some of the summer and we don't, you know.
Go down to Fort Douglas. They have a lovely conservatory down there. You can go look at that.
I complain about the weather. I don't leave the fucking house. It doesn't matter.
Would you enjoy a cracking owl sanctuary?
Yeah, exactly. Could be 80 degrees out there and I'd be looking out the window going, looks hot out there. That's, you know. I've worked out in January. I will physically leave my house three times in the whole of January.
I mean, mm-hmm. I went to watch the Citrus Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
That was New Year's Day.
Okay, that's fine.
I went out last
you went
Thursday.
Out the other week when you called all the people. You
yes, yeah, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was, yeah, because we went out that time. And I went out Thursday for about 85 minutes. And I was with my friend Bradley. Good guy. And like, you know, because he's like, I haven't seen you. I was like, fuck it. All right. You know, let's go get a beer. And we went to the first place. Well, I got there before and I walked in. I was like, fuck, this bartender's a bitch. So like, I was like, why don't we go, you know, did the thing. Like I got there 5 minutes. Well, I'll meet you down the street. You know, so we go down the street and sitting there, we're having one. Run to our friend Joe, who we also, goddamn, he got, oh, fuck. So like I thought my Thanksgiving was shit, you know, because that was when I rebroke my wrist and I got COVID and whatever.
Right.
He got drugged at a bar downtown. Actually, it's one of the social clubs, which is even scarier.
Okay.
But somebody slipped fentanyl.
Wow.
Like he went up, he got up to take a, you know, he got up to take a piss or whatever. Somebody put fentanyl in his fucking drink. He got home somehow and then woke up. One of his neighbors woke him up like 4 hours later. He'd had a hemorrhage and had like a 1.2 centimeter bleed, split. And they had to air him up to Madison, like a real hospital, because we don't have those. I mean, it was fucking hard. He's like, he was, you won't believe what happened to me over Thanksgiving. It's like, man, you know, because the last time we saw each other was like right before that. I was like, oh, man, no, let me tell you first. Like, I broke my wrist. He's like, I died. So, you know, we ran into him. We're having a couple drinks. And, like, we're going to go to the next bar because this place closes at, like, 10. Go outside. It's kind of snowing again. And, it's like you said, when I was texting you guys, whatever, last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever, like, I genuinely don't I don't know if I've suddenly crossed a barrier in my life because, you know, again, being a journalist forever, part of the gig is you get done, you go to the bar.
Right.
And then I worked in bars and then I owned bars and I did, you know, but there is like a very distinct fine line that I've noticed this winter where I fucking hate being out anymore. I don't want to do it. Like I don't know if it's David talking to you for all these fucking years or what, but something like I hate it. The second I leave the house, all I want to do is go back.
Go back in.
I can't stand it.
Anymore. Hilarious. I leave the house at least three times a day because my dog needs to shit somewhere that's not
I'll go for a walk, not right now because it's fucking miserable outside, but no, I'll do that, but I swear, like, outside maybe going to the grocery store, you know, or like going to get a coffee or say whatever, the second seriously I got down there, I still have like Brad's Christmas tree, you know, so like, you know, we had that little nice fun moment, and all I brought him some old baseball cards. You know, I was talking to you guys. I got to remember some guys the other day. Like, I just went through a box of old baseball cards. I was like, oh, yeah, Billy Spires. I remember him. Vince Coleman. I remember him. You know, you remember guys for a little while.
Yeah.
So I brought him those. And he had fun remembering guys. Because, you know, it's a good time. It's a, you know, it's like, hey, David, you remember Alec Clelland? Remember him?
Of course. Yeah, of
course. Yeah. See, it's fun remembering guys, right? Yeah. It's fun remembering Dan Egan.
I bought him a blue light, and he was about to give me one of his children that he didn't have.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's fun remembering guys.
It's fun remembering guys.
So I let Brad remember guys. And then the second we were done and we were we're on our first pint, and I was just like, nope, I want to go home. I'm fucking sick of this shit. Okay?
Fail. Absolutely fail.
Then I suggest that you are not built for a life in the entertainment industry.
See, I honestly, Todd, part of the problem is spending in this town, as long as I was like a forward facing journalist in this town, and people still like, hey, do you know who's doing that fucking building project? And blah, no, I don't. Why would I know? Why would I care? I don't give I don't do this shit anymore. You realize I quit like 5 fucking years ago.
100%. My mum actually a couple of weeks ago said to me, oh, I bumped into whoever in the town. And I said, oh, aye. And she said, he said he sent you a message on Facebook or whatever and you didn't reply. And I was like, well, of course not.
No.
So, well, why not? And I was like, I think I went to primary school with him. He's like, yeah, you did. And I was like, well, why the fuck? You know, we weren't friends 40 years ago. You know, so why the fuck do I want to be in contact with this guy now? And she's like, well, you know, do you not want to hear what he's been up to? I don't give a flying fuck what he's been up to.
Right.
We're rewatching Six Feet Under right now. It's like within the last season, that guy from Nate's high school dies. Yeah. So he like runs into his friend. He goes out there and he's like, oh shit, my friend's a pedophile. Look at that. Yeah. So that's what you've been up to for the past 20 years. That's being a pedophile.
Six Feet Under was so good.
Yeah. It's
funny.
Yeah.
I love that show, but yeah, it's just
I gotta get back on Northern Exposure again. God damn it! I don't watch a single episode.
Well, that's foolish in your part, but I don't understand this thing of but we knew each other, you know, 30-40 years ago. Let's hang out. No, let's not. You know,
I've got like 2 mates that I've known from that time. Right, I've got my friend. You know, we grew up on the opposite corners of the block. And but we both understand what that means. You know, like we'll call each other, you know, like kids or, you know, somebody in the family died or fucking whatever. And when we get together, we're still good pals, right? We still talk and we're still good pals, but we recognize the fact that that hasn't been, you know, it's been over 20 fucking years since we've seen each other on a regular, you know. So it's like, all right, cool. You know, how's the parents? Good. Okay, cool. Talk to you in 6 months.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't like when I went to my fucking reunion, you know, my 20-year fucking high school reunion. I mean, thank God, one, the Mariners had just finished coming back to win, beat the Blue Jays. And two, well, I mean, one, that led to me being very drunk. But two, I was on like a fucking 36-hour coke bender. And like, man, you know, David, you remember we talked like how you do the handshake thing, like politician handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, quick. That was it. That was it. That was like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, how's it? Good. Your kids are good. Bye. Okay. Who? Oh yeah. You. Bye.
Like, yep. That's it. Very, very basically, you're just like shake.
Yep.
You know, you just go along and do it. That's a politician shake.
Mm-hmm. The William McKinley handshake.
Especially if you're as terrified as I am about, you know, because of the stand that I now think that every infection. Right. So I'm not shaking any fucker's hand. Like, you know, this thing spreads.
That entire book goes away if they just did the fist bump. to Shane's point, I had that happen in Kingston because Gananoque is 20 minutes away, and that's where we spend all of our time because there's fuck all to do in Gananoque. And I was doing shows there, and I get off stage. It's after the show, and out of the showroom comes my friend Helen Ann that I knew from high school. I went, oh my God, where are you? And I knew she had married another friend of mine who I knew since grade 5 when I first moved into Gananoque. I went, where's Bill? He was just sitting right beside me. Well, where were you guys in the room? And she said, right beside the stage. In fact, you talked to us. Wow. I was like, what? And then I played it back and looked at, and I look over at the table and there's Bill waving. And it's funny that like you have these friends. And I was happy to have them where it's just like you take the tape recorder off pause and it's like you never left each other. And we just had a lovely conversation. And then it's like, OK, we'll see you like when next time I see you. And then you hit pause again. And then next time you see them, you unpause it and it takes off exactly the way it was before. It was just
my friend Keegan in town and her husband grew up fucking strangest guy.
Hold on. Your friend Keegan.
Keegan.
That's not a fucking name.
I'm not her fucking parents. All right.
What a segue.
I'm reporting. Yeah. Segue, you goddamn it. No, but it's the same. The last time I saw her, she was in town with her husband. Again, this guy grew up. He was my first neighbor, like when I was born. Right. I grew up across the street from this guy until I was like 6 years old, 7 years old, or something. And we got together. She's like, oh yeah, you gotta meet my husband. You know, we grew up in Sycamore, blah blah blah. And I was like, how the fuck do I not know that? You know, Sycamore is a small town. You know everybody. How the fuck do I not know this guy? And I get there, I'm like, oh my God, you married the guy that I grew literally across the fucking street from.
Wow.
How the fuck did I not know? You know, but no, the whole wraparound point to this was the last time I saw her, and we did the unpause thing. She was in town to see Joe Coy.
How'd that go?
We're not topping that. That is a beautifully tied bow. That one. Yeah. We're not topping that one. I don't, you know, I think one of my problems, well, it's not a problem.
One.
Yeah. It's not a problem for me. It's a problem for other people.
I mean, there's only like 3 or 4, to be fair.
I have no interest whatsoever in anybody else's life, right? None. Like, zero.
Yeah.
Unless it's...
You do a good job feigning interest here, but yes.
I can feign interest in certain... But that's exactly it. I'm not going to feign interest in... You know, I'll do it for my mom and dad. I'll do it for Sally. I'll do it for Lauren. I'm not going to do it for people further out on the chain because it's too much effort. So when people say, how have you been doing? This is what I've been up to. I don't care. I use conversation to be entertained. Are you going to entertain me? I do not give a flying fuck who you're married to, your kids, any of that shit. It's of no interest to me whatsoever. So can we just skip this bit? And you can tell me some funny stories. If you don't have any funny stories, get the fuck out of my life and move on. That's it. But then you get people who will, you know, get together and, as you say, love all that. You know, they love, you'll never guess what happened to my great aunt's cousin's neighbor's dog. No, I won't. What happened?
Nope.
I just couldn't imagine being remotely interested in it.
No.
Those are calls from my mom. It's like, hey, do you know the Gundersons? No, I don't. Well, you do.
No, I don't,
Mom.
They always argue with you.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I tell stories like my dad sometimes, and I know I do. You know, but where it takes me like fucking 10 minutes to make a 30-second point, right? I know it happens. I'm sorry, but you guys have been dealing with it for fucking 12 years now. So fuck off, right? But still, when I'm sitting there, yes, the argument, Like, oh no, you remember fucking Tony, what's his name? That lived. No, I don't. No. He went to Bermuda one time and came back with. Oh man, remember when he came back with? No, I don't. No, yeah, and my dad's go to is always that he drove the fucking 82 Chevette. Mm-hmm. You're like, why am I still here? God You're damn right. it! Like,
and then you go through all of that. It's like, okay, what, mom, what? And it's like, yes. Well, he died.
yeah, that is always the end of the story. Yeah, he's dead now. Yeah. Why don't you just lead with that?
Should we maybe start getting our own back on our parents by doing this and saying, do you know my mate Jim? No. Aye, you do.
Yeah, no, exactly. I did it at Christmas this year. To the point where Melissa, she was like, you do realize you tell stories just like your dad. I was like, no, to them, I do it on purpose. They're going to hear the most pointless stories about people they don't know from Rockford because I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to fill time. Look, they booked me for fucking 18 minutes. I've only got 7 minutes of fucking material. All right. well, shall we?
Yep. Let's
go. Is it onion time?
I think so.
So I came in. I mean, I wanted to come in hot. I duck Quack's ass off all day to come home to this shit.
It's just beautiful. I'm going to start with Reductress. I actually have two because this one touches my soul, and this one is just, well, it's me. Crowd witnessing public proposal, all quietly hoping she'll say no.
Yes, 100%. Always.
Which is the best wormhole to drop into on YouTube is the public proposal fails. Just like watching brides to not be just running away down the bleachers and out into the player's exit because she needs to get away from the guy who thought it would be a great idea to propose at a Knicks game. It's
the Madison Square Garden. What are you talking about?
And this one, a bully suspended for verbally harassing peers argues he was just pushing boundaries with his comedy.
It's Ricky Gervais.
as an 8-year-old.
I've got a couple. First of all, GOP voters shrug and say there's really nothing you can do after footage of Trump molesting deer emerges. And this one, this one, absolutely. White woman about to make unforgivable mistake tells karaoke DJ to drop the motherfucking beat.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Oh, God.
Okay, and there's this one from The Onion. Alabama middle schooler jailed after taking basketball back out from under her shirt.
Todd, here's a good one for you. Judge orders Columbus statue removed and melted down into pinky rings for Italians.
Beautiful. I will tell the wife.
Well, I loved it. Car sinking in the lake has hazard lights on.
I was telling friends of mine this last night. We were talking about cars falling through the ice. And that was a fundraiser in Gananoque, Ontario. For the winter carnival, they would put a car out on the river that was frozen with a clock in it, and you bought raffle tickets for the day and time that it would go through, and then when it fell through, the clock would stop because of the water, and then they would winch it up, and then whoever won got like a side of beef or something. So between that and cowpie bingo, we knew that's why we went to fucking Kingston. Okay, that's why.
All right, that's it. If you go, well, if there is a match tomorrow and you're traveling across the Central Belt, please be safe.
Yes.
I don't think we're gonna play. I mean, I don't think we're gonna play.
I'd be intrigued to see tonight if Hart's match is called off. That might be an indicator. If the Hart's game goes ahead, I would be pretty sure we would as well.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well. If you do end up going tomorrow, please be safe. So there you go. Absolutely. David, of course, heart in hand, all that shit. Don't find them. I don't even want to talk about Twitter anymore. I fucking hate it. No, I'm sorry. I know that's how I've kept up with so many of you over the years.
The other thing is, it's so fucking annoying.
The other thing as well is that
people, you know, if you say to, it's actually a bit of a lie. If you say to them, you can get in touch with David on Twitter. You can't. I'm not going to get.
Well, honestly, look, if I log in anymore, it's either ads for like gambling through like weird sites, I don't know, based out of Singapore or something,
even though
gambling is legal in Illinois now. So I have no idea why the fuck they're doing this. Or it's some raging anti-Semite.
who
somehow bought ad time.
I've got 48 hours worth of book to read, so I'm not on Twitter much.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, you can find David doing some speed and listening to the stands.
David taking some amphetamine, listening to metal machine music by Lou Reed, and David is cranked
up. Yeah. Reading the stand.
It all makes sense now. It all makes sense, Sally. I told you, the government. It all makes sense now.
Yeah. David is going to finish the stand, and he's going to look like the guy that they left on the spaceship in Interstellar when they went down, saw the tracking device, and came back. And he's like, "I'm 80 years old now." Okay.
Do you remember when Bart covered himself in tinfoil to stop Major League? That's what I'll be like in 2 days.
There you go. That's what Daddy likes, right there.
Todd, you can't find on Twitter either, but you can go to HeyCVA.com.
I'm there.
Whatever. You can go to HeyCVA.com and find
/ calendar for the shows that are coming up next week at Absolute. There's Moose McGuire's in February, and then at the end
Moose
of
Moose
McGuire's.
That is the craziest thing I've ever held.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, it is a great fucking room. It sounds stupid. It's a great fucking room. It is so fun.
More Canadian than Bret Hart fucking.
He tried to slide that right in there too.
Moose McGuire's.
Jack McShaw's.
Jack McShaw's. right. And then you can see Shane at Cooter McStabby's.
Yeah, that's about like me saying I'll be in a place called the Kilted Haggis, and Shane will be in the We Have Guns But No Healthcare arena.
Right. Yeah. And
it's a massive arena. I don't do small shows. I got to be 20,000 seaters.
There you
go. Oh, super. Moose McGuire's. I'm desperate to go now. I'm fucking desperate to go to Moose McGuire's.
All right,
everybody. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday. Everybody be good. Like I said, if you're going, be safe. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
I mean, you can't even fucking serious at all.